Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening, and I do give everyone a welcome in their service tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want us to turn to the Word of God, to Revelations. Revelations chapter 12 and verse 11. And the Lord bless those that's tuned in also this evening. I want to thank Father Gary for leading us in a word of song this evening. And we just trust that the Lord's word will touch somebody tonight. Heard this statement just today. I wasn't going to preach what I'm going to preach tonight, this morning or yesterday or all week. But I've been up to pray today and back at home, and I just couldn't get away from this statement, and I just started with this, and the Lord's given me a wee message for the night, and I want to talk about the blood tonight. Verse 11 of Revelation 12, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Father, we do bow before you this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this privilege we have, that we can come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your presence because of the new and living way of the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you this evening. Your ear's not heavy and your arm is not shortened. But you're able to hear us, whether it's a whisper or a shout. Amen. And you're able to reach from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise your lovely name tonight, Lord Jesus, that you died, but you rose again from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures. We thank you for the shedding of your precious blood, that it washes us and cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray this evening that we might know something of the power of thy blood in this service tonight. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for each and every need, for the wee woman I mentioned this morning. Lord, that you'll touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Pray for others that's privately ask for prayer, that thou will indeed touch them in the name of Jesus Christ. For any in this room, any listening in this evening that needs a touch, we heard this morning how the woman pressed through all of the crowd and touched the border or the hem of your garment. Lord, you're our kinsman redeemer tonight, and we would touch you. And we pray that you would touch us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I wrote this, and I have a lot of things wrote down on scriptures because I wouldn't remember it. I know God can give you it whether you wrote or not, like a brother said this morning. But I wrote this statement down on: we overcome Satan by testifying to what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. Yeah. We overcome Satan by testifying to what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. The victory of the blood. Yeah. And I want to talk tonight for a moment about the victory of the blood. And I want to remind you and remind me and everybody that we need to testify to the enemy, tell anybody what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. Our enemy today is the devil. The scripture says they overcame him, the dragon, the serpent. Notice two animal names here in the Bible. You read it in Revelations. And the devil is two names, the devil and Satan. All opposition to the true church of God is satanic. And all opposition to a true child of God is satanic. Not brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. It is the devil. Yeah. He uses various means, various methods, various ways. But the devil is behind it all, because the Bible tells us he is a persecutor of the brethren. Now that's not just the brethren assembly and the Lord bless them, but all of the brethren. All of us that are saved are brethren. How many knows that? Yeah. Hallelujah. The terror of the dragon and the subtlety of the serpent. There is a war on. We know there's a war on. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You don't fight the devil as if you're going to punch him in the gut. And he's a physical person that you can have a wrestling match with. It doesn't work like that. It is an invisible enemy you're fighting. That's why you need to cast down all reasoning. And you need to put upon you the full armor of God. And you need to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The breastplate of truth. The helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit to overcome the enemy. The terror of the devil. This war's on. The true saints of God, real believers, have to fight the good fight. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. So we're in a fight. We heard about Jack Dempsey and Gene Tully this morning about the fight and a natural to bring out the spiritual. And it's true. And Paul talks about even running in a natural way to bring out a spiritual truth. He says we all run in a race. And it's how we finish the race that matters, not how we start the race. And we're in a warfare, and we're to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold in eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So many people profess a good profession. You have a good testimony, but the enemy wants to kill out your testimony. Just like Cain, we're going to see it in a moment. Cain tried to kill. Cain killed Abel. And the enemy wants to kill you. And just as Cain was off that wicked one, 1 John tells us, Epistle of John, of his father the devil. That's what it says. Now let me drop this in. Every single person that's not born again is a child of the devil anyhow.
Yes, amen.
That's the truth, for the Bible says it is. Until you're regenerated, you're a child of the devil. And you see, Cain killed out Abel, and the same devil and the same father of Cain wants to kill out your testimony, and he wants to kill out our testimony. But I'm here to remind you tonight that you need to overcome the devil by testifying to what the blood can do for you.
Amen.
We know in the beginning that's how it happened. Eve, she disobeyed the word. She disobeyed the word. The word was given and she disobeyed the word. And the word of God is a fortress. And when she left the fortress, she was in the enemy's territory. As long as you stay with the word of God, you're more than a match for the devil. Jesus himself showed us plainly. Jesus displayed no gift when he met the devil up on the mountain. He hungered and fasted 40 days. The Bible tells us that. And he answered him with the word. He could have used any gift. You know that. I know that. But he spoke the word. Because he gave us something we could use today. The word of God. You might not be a preacher or a pastor or an evangelist or so forth. But even a sister or a little child. You can use the word of God that God has given you. God has given you his word, and there's no word of God void of power, for the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it and to bring it to pass. Jeremiah says he keeps an eye on it. Hallelujah. God doesn't say, you keep an eye on my word. He says, I will keep the eye on the word. In other words, I'll bring it to pass, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what we can think or even ask him. Who was the first true believer after the fall in Genesis? Abel was. Abel was the first true believer. And he never built an altar by man's device like Cain did. But he built a plain altar, slaying a lamb, put it on it, and he believed in the victory of the blood. Cain didn't believe in the victory of the blood, but Abel believed in the victory of the blood. The Bible says Cain offered an excellent sacrifice. the cool of the day, and he made them aprons. He had to kill something. Blood. God set the pattern that goes from Genesis to Revelation. There's a red scarlet line that runs through the whole of the Bible. And I tell you, that's why preaching on the blood of Jesus is the most powerful antidote that there is in this world today, because there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ like no other. Hallelujah. He believed in the victory of the blood. You can read it in Genesis 4, verse 8 and 10. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood. Hallelujah. The blood has a voice. It has a voice that God hears. It has a voice that God answers. The blood speaks. Yes, absolutely. The blood of Abel spoke from the thorns to God. It spoke from the place of the curse. And how much more does the blood of Jesus Christ speak from the thorn-crowned brow of Jesus on the cross? Abel's blood spoke for vengeance. Jesus' blood speaks for mercy. Amen. Now, I don't want to go into the Abel type and Christ the type tonight. Both shepherds and so forth. I've preached it many times. Cain killed Abel. The devil wanted to kill his testimony off. 1 John 3:15 tells us he was off his father, the devil. Cain was. The accusation of the devil. He will make an accusation against you. Whether it's from the lips of another person, whether it's in your mind. The devil wants to condemn you. He wants to accuse you. What one old preacher said, he wants to use you and abuse you. But you need to do what the book of Psalms says. You need to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You need to testify of the blood of Jesus Christ, what it can do for you today. Revelation 12:10-11, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night, he'll not rest. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame the devil. You cannot overcome the devil by an educational program. You cannot overcome the devil by joining a lodge or a church or a movement. But Jesus Christ has given us the authority and the tool to overcome the devil by the same name, that is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ overcomes the devil yesterday, today, and forever. I believe in the preservation of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe it. I don't believe it's congealed. I don't believe it's dried up. I believe it's speaking blood, active blood, living blood, and it cleanses today from all sin like it did yesterday. I believe the blood shall never lose its power till all the ranks of Church of God be saved to sin no more. The blood of Christ is the only thing to stop or overcome the accusation of the devil. Now look at these weapons God's given us. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. People make a big mistake thinking it's literally how well they live. That's not it. That's not really what it's talking about. Amen. That's good. That's part of it. But it is staying with the word. Staying with testifying. Staying with it and testifying of what the blood has done for you. Your testimony is not how good you are. Your testimony is not how bad you were either. Your testimony is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you. Amen. You were helpless. I was helpless. You were hopeless. I was hopeless. But Jesus Christ in his mercy washed us and cleansed us and purified us with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. It is because of the blood of Jesus Christ we are what we are today. And we need to remember the devil of that. We need to keep on keeping on and keep on testifying to the blood. I believe when we pray, we should always pray about the blood. Amen. You know, I heard last week, Mrs. Jones went on to be with the Lord. She was a great old woman. Her son works in the shop in the town, and I met her in the early 1990-91, and she really was an inspiration for me as a young man serving the Lord. She gave me a tremendous hymn one day. I was out visiting her, and she gave me a hymn: "I have given up all for Jesus. This vain world is not to me. In remembering Calvary." And that scripture that I often preach on, of chief Paul, of sinners whom I was the chief, Jesus saved me. She said to me, "Tommy, you know, in prayer meetings today, the young ones don't know how to pray." And I said, "What do you mean, Mrs. Jones?" They said they don't use the Lord's name right. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Says when you pray, you need to address Him properly. You need to reverence the Lord. Many people take the name Jesus as blasphemy. But we need to reverence the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because my Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. My Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The name of Jesus Christ whispered over somebody dying can cause them to live. The name of Jesus Christ is so powerful. Wigglesworth said He whispered it over a man that was dying, and he came alive and started to praise God. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I have given you a name which is above every name. At my name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord."
Amen.
He's not just anybody, He's Lord. Lord of lords and King of kings. We need to testify to the blood of Jesus Christ, what it does for us. Now I've cut this back because it just kept rolling in the day, and I just kept marking down this and marking down that and praying and marking it down, and I had to stop. God can give you things like that. You can have nothing, and in 2 minutes God can give you a sermon. You could study for months, you could get a sermon, get 100 of them. But we want something from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The blood cleansed us from sin. Hebrews 9 verse 22. And you know I love the book of Hebrews. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission." There is no remission without the shedding of blood. There had to be blood shed in Genesis. Blood shed throughout the whole of the Bible for the remission of sins. Jesus Christ shed His precious blood to cleanse us from all sin. God decreed that only by the death, by blood shedding, can sins be forgiven. Remission of sins is possible today because the blood of Jesus Christ was literally shed on the cross. He literally shed His blood upon the cross. He shed His blood upon the cross to save this world from sin. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that Jesus shed His blood. Death by blood shedding is the inflexible divine law of Almighty God. This can never be changed. This is eternal and an unchangeable truth that can never be changed. Wigglesworth said, "A man that never preaches about the blood never go to hear him." You know, one of the best preachers in modern times on the blood, there's only one man that comes to mind: Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke was one of the best preachers on the blood in modern times. He preached the blood. People questioned him that he said the blood was so powerful to save, and not whole of a country, all of Africa shall be saved. Everywhere he went, he believed for them all to be saved. Why? Because he believed the Bible. The Bible says, "It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should be saved." We don't believe in a limited atonement.
Amen.
That the blood of Jesus is in some sort of a wee vessel, and when the last wee drop's used up, that's it, finished. That's no message at all. The blood of Jesus Christ can save this world and 1,000 worlds more if they're there to be saved. I believe in the power of the blood. The blood made. Because of blood, your sins can be cleansed. Here's another one. The blood made redemption possible. You could never redeem if the blood hadn't been shed. You could never redeem. You would have stayed in your sin. You would have stayed in your condition. Redeemed means bought back. The devil owned you. The devil owned me. Ephesians tells us that. When we once walked according to the course of this world, by the prince of the power of the spirit of the air, that now worketh or driveth or energizes in the children of disobedience. But God, rich in mercy, redeemed us. He bought us back. and he paid it.
Amen.
He never owed it, but he paid it. He paid my debt. And he redeemed me with his precious blood. He redeemed you. Psalms 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you, will you say it tonight? Thank God I'm redeemed.
Amen.
Amen. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Galatians says you're redeemed from the curse of the law. And that takes in every sickness, every disease. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Not only will he receive, but he can heal you.
Amen.
By his stripes, wounds, you're healed. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, who hath redeemed me from the hand of the enemy? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Who have redeemed me from the hand of the enemy? Every one of us has broke God's law, the law's moral precepts, Christ totally fulfilled to the pleasing of the Father. The law's ceremonial types, Christ also totally fulfilled. He came not to destroy the law, but to establish it. Hallelujah. He fulfilled it. He exonerated it. He was the only man that could do it. No other man. Amen. He could do it. The blood of Jesus Christ was preserved and presented in the temple of heaven. I want you to get this. A fellow said to me, the blood, you know, you told him preaching far too much about the blood. That's what he told me. Preaching too much, don't you think that the blood of Jesus is going to save you? Now, I'm going to tell you someone here this evening, any man that claims to be a minister that makes a statement like that is an apostate.
Amen.
Right there and then. I wouldn't even hear him again.
Amen.
He is absolutely apostate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I believe the blood's preserved in heaven, of which the temple on earth is put aside.
Yes.
And the redemption was fully, completely accomplished forever. The day of atonement was fulfilled. Hear this, Hebrews 9, verse 11. This is a verse God gave me to open this up years and years ago. Listen to this. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not waved with hands, that is the same, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now that entering in once into the holy place wasn't the temple on earth.
Amen.
That was heaven.
Right.
You, let me say this evening, and I'm going to show you in a moment, there could be no blessing till the blood was shed. Pentecost could never happen until Calvary first took place.
Amen.
There could be no blessing called from heaven until the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. Better father on that again. I'm going to go even further with it. They couldn't be released from Abraham's bosom.
Amen.
Till Jesus Christ shed his blood.
Amen.
And when Jesus Christ shed his blood, he broke the bars asunder. He rose, they rose.
Amen.
Abraham's bosom was closed. Christ rose. They were held there. A specially prepared realm for the Old Testament saints. They were held in it until Christ died on the cross. And it took the death of Christ and the life of Christ, the blood of Christ, to open the way into heaven.
Yeah.
And them old saints rose. Hallelujah. I believe in the preservation of the blood. Here's another thing. We have full salvation because of the blood. Not a half salvation.
Yeah.
Full salvation. Full salvation. Can it be? What a Savior. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Full salvation. And the Old Testament economy, the way of salvation was symbolically exhibited. Hear me this evening. Leviticus 9:22. And Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. He blessed them. Now listen to me. The sacrificial offering, blood shedding, blood sprinkling resulted in the blessing of God. Aaron made a sacrifice before he called a blessing. When Aaron, the high priest, his sons, had finished the work of blood shedding and blood sprinkling, they were able to call down the blessing of God upon the people. They couldn't call it down till the blood sprinkling and blood shedding was performed first. And Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, and we can call down the blessing tonight. Number 6. Tells us, verse 24 to 27, Here's what it is. And the Lord bless thee. Some people call it the benediction. It's a good one, isn't it? Isn't it a good benediction? Amen. Certainly it is. The word of God. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance up upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The name of God was put on the people because the blood had been put on them. Hear me this evening. The name of God was put on the people because the blood was put on them. You know, in the Old Testament, they got the thumb mark on the right ear of the blood mark. And when they saw the blood, they knew they were chosen. Amen? You remember when William Branham told the story and he went up with a fella to put the cattle? And the fella says, "You don't know a whole lot about cattle." How many remembers that? And he said, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "The blood mark. Tag mark." And he said, "Them purebreds have a tag mark that's different from the other ones. And every one of us is marked by the blood of the Lamb. The very moment you could see him, the very moment you prayed and asked Jesus to wash you in the blood of the Lamb, you were marked by the blood of the Lamb. And the enemy can see that mark. And you need to tell the enemy, 'I'm marked by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm marked. Everywhere I go, I'm marked.'" You know, there's even a song about it. "I am marked, I am marked." Hallelujah! Marked by the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, there's a whole lot of marks the devil wants to give you, but don't take them. But take the blood mark. Amen! Psalms 9, verse 18 to 21, here it is. "Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which hath enjoined unto you.'" That was the Old Testament. We have blood also in the New Testament. "Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry." He sprinkled everything with the blood. No blood, no blessing. No blood, no salvation, and no healing. You need the blood of the Lamb which cleanses from all sin. Here's my last thought tonight. We have salvation and healing because the blood has been seen. Not just shed, but seen. God sees it. This is important, you get this. And I've only picked a few things out. You know, I preached on the 10 things. I got a tract from a great preacher in this country. You all know who he was. And the Lord gave me a message. He put it all together some years ago. I preached it all over the world. There's a fellow even messaged me last week. And he says, "I remember when you come to Africa and preach that sermon. 10 impossibilities if there's no blood." And he said the power of God broke loose. And he said people are still affected today. Isn't that right, Mark, what he sent me? That was just last week. God's still moving. Because the blood's alive. Nothing to do with me. It's God's word and his blood. Amen. We have salvation and healing because the blood has been seen. Exodus 12, verse 13. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses when you are where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. So there might be a plague, but it won't destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt," and God was going to. Amen? My, I'm excited right now, you know, because there was 10 different things that came down in Egypt. There was different judgments God sent upon it. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. And you know, one of them things was frogs. And I remember I preached that as well in Africa. One more night with the frogs. Anyone remember that message? One more night with the frogs. And you know when they went rid of them frogs, they never came to Moses and said, they said, "Moses, entreat the Lord for us and move these frogs." And he said, "When?" And they said, "Tomorrow." Can you imagine saying tomorrow instead of today? Why not ask God to do it now? Why say tomorrow? The Bible says he's a very present help in trouble. But people want to stay with a frog, and frogs speak of uncleanness. One more night with the frogs. this, and you didn't either. But I'm going to tell you. The night I preached that message in Zimbabwe and Gweru, I preached it outside a house in this certain place. And there was a man which was a false prophet near there, and he heard it over the microphone. And he got 26 years of jail shortly after that. Because he spent too many nights with the frogs. Now, I never knew nothing about it, but God makes no mistakes. I preached in another place, and there's another man. And I'm not even going to go into the detail, but the last sermon I preached for him was a man who kissed the door of heaven and went straight to hell. And they say today that that man, I won't mention his name, they've seen his body physically in parts of Africa, and they say that's a bad thing when you can see somebody after they die in the graveyards. And they've seen him. Many people have seen him. And one of the last sermons that's preached there, now I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm telling you, there's false preachers and false prophets. Transformed as ministers of light, but they're ministers of darkness. And when a fellow goes round the world and tells churches and people, you don't need to preach the cross and the blood no more, that man's an apostate. He's absolutely false. What else would he be? He's at the devil himself. He's against the word of God. He's not for it. But I'm just telling you, them things wasn't planned, but it happened anyhow. I don't know what happened, but it happened. Praise God. When I see the blood, look at verse 21 of Exodus 12. Verse 21 to 23. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Now listen to this carefully. And strike the lintel and the two posts and the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning. Stay in. Don't go anywhere else. Stay in with the Lord. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he saved the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts of the Lord, of the posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto you, to your houses to smite you. Now the father of the house saw this blood. And the family of the house saw the blood. And the firstborn of the home saw the blood. But the most important thing was God saw the blood. Amen. The blood had to be applied. The blood that just wasn't any good in the basin. But the blood had to be taken out of the basin and placed upon the lintels of the house. And you need to apply the blood to your heart. You need to apply the blood to your life. You need to apply the blood to your sickness and to your disease. But it stopped them killing them. It stopped them affecting them. All the rest died that were under the blood. But those that were under the blood were saved. Those that were under the blood were saved. I want to tell you this evening, the blood of Jesus Christ is real. It's real tonight. The blood of Jesus can cleanse a prostitute. It can cleanse a drunkard. It can cleanse a drug addict. It can cleanse a sexaholic, whatever that would be. But I don't care what condition a man or woman's in. The blood of Jesus Christ can change you. It can deliver you. It can set you free. There's only one antidote for mankind. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. We need a blood transfusion. Let us, by faith this evening, go up to Calvary for a blood transfusion. A blood transfusion. You know something that's anemic? Now there's doctors and nurses know better than me, but I'm told something that's anemic doesn't have the same ability or strength. It's a condition, anemic. It's a lack of something in the blood. But I tell you, the Lord Jesus is everything in your His blood that He needs for you. Let me say this tonight as I come to close of this service, and I'm closing this. You know, when people get blood, and it's good to get blood, you know, blood can save somebody's life. And you know that Brother Mark's blood can be different from mine. I think mine's O negative or A. A negative. I don't know what yours is. But you have to match that blood type. And you can save somebody if you can match that blood type. And when they draw your blood out, your blood's only got a certain time and it perishes. And they have to put someone in that blood and they have to put it in freezers and everything, what they do with it, I don't know all the details. But it has to be preserved and it still only lasts so long. Then they need fresh blood. But the blood of Jesus Christ is reserved eternally. And the blood of Jesus Christ will match every patient. It will match the drug addict, the alcoholic, the prostitute, the down and out. The blood of Jesus will match the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, red, yellow, black and white. Jesus' blood matches all. His transfusion will save all. And he shed the blood on the cross. And there's power in the blood. Will you testify to his blood tonight? Will you testify to the enemy? I'm not listening to your lies. I'm overcoming you now by the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed. I am a child of the King. Brother, you're a child of the King. Sister, you're a child of the King. You've tuned in tonight. Are you a child of the King?
Amen.
Have you ever come to the fountain? There is a fountain filled with blood. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins for guilty sinners, plunge beneath the floods, lose all their guilty stains. I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he was crucified, for sin to set me free. Let us pray this evening. Let us stand our feet also. Close our eyes and bow our heads tonight. Dear man or woman that's listening in the service this evening, maybe you're saying that fella does a lot of shouting, maybe I'm shouting.
Amen.
I don't mean to do it, but it just happens. But I'm trying to warn you this evening, come to the cross. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Come hear his voice as he calls you. Today. Will you come, young man? Will you come, young woman? Will you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? If there's one in this room, will you lift your hand up and say, brother, will you pray for me? If there's one listening online, will you lift your hand up in your car, in your home, wherever you're watching in tonight? Will you pray a sinner's prayer? Will you call upon the name of the Lord? Will you come to Christ tonight? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's a poor brother or sister listening tonight. You're suffering desperately. Afflicted in your body. My Bible tells me in 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bare my sins in his own body on the tree. That he being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By his stripes wounds you were healed. The Lord is your Savior. Now confess him as your healer as well. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of Jesus Christ tonight. We pray you bless everyone under the sound of your word tonight. Father, that you'll deal with men and women. Encourage your own people and strengthen them. Help us to overcome the enemy with the weapon you provided, the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, we plead the precious blood of Jesus on everyone in this house tonight.
Amen.
We plead the precious blood of Jesus on our children, on grandchildren, on aunts and uncles. All that's near and dear to us, we plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, for every man and woman listening in, touch them. Those that need a touch, give deciding grace to those that need your mercy tonight. Lord, I think of a man and woman this evening. You know who they are. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that that dear sister will be like the woman that touched the hem of your garment and her blood issued dried up. In the name of Jesus, I curse the spirit of infirmity. infirmity. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I speak health to the navel, strength and marrow to the bones. In the name of Jesus Christ. Strengthen each one in this room tonight. Lord, as we commit it all to you, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee and cause his face to shine upon thee. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Thursday night, our prayer and Bible study. 7:30, come along, those that can, and the Lord bless you. And maybe next Sunday morning, our brother Samuel will preach. Samuel was meant to preach a few weeks back, but just things happened. And then maybe the week after that, our brother John will preach again. So maybe brother Samuel will preach next Sunday. Is that all right, brother? And then our brother John the week after that, and then we'll go back round again. And it's good for these different brothers that can preach, and pray for the brothers that's willing to stand in to take these offices up as elders and deacons, and pray for them, and let's have the vote for those that's behind it all. And I think everyone will be in agreement that, you know, these brothers are proven, they're not novices or anything. And I want to thank as well the brothers that's maybe not in that position, but they help out, ushers, brother Yule and Terry and any other brothers that help out. I want to appreciate them tonight, and I want to thank them for their help, and they can continue to do that. And we need the help of everybody, and you sisters as well, and brothers, and let's keep going on with the Lord. And the Lord bless each and every one.
I'm trying to sing last hymn in my heart, there rings a melody. I had a song that Jesus gave me, come from heaven.